Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today in this episode, the topic that I'm going to be talking about is inspired actually by some conversation that's come up in the Nurturing Resilience membership. As you may or may not already know, I have a membership subscription for people who are looking to recover and improve their health and quality of life when they're experiencing an energy-limiting condition like long COVID, chronic fatigue, post-viral fatigue, any type of fatigue-related condition, really. And this membership includes lots of different courses, and it also includes bi-monthly group calls with myself. And these calls are actually one of the favorite parts of my working week. I love meeting the members of the community. I love the questions that they bring. And I also love that even though people are going through a hard time, the reason why they're in the membership in the first place is because things are challenging, but we can also bring a sense of lightness to recovery, and we can laugh and joke and also get valuable information at the same time. Anyway, kind of going on a little bit of a tangent, but I do really love these calls. I love the people and I love the questions that they bring. And one of the questions which was raised recently was this idea of how long is enough? How long is long enough? And this is specifically in relation to sticking with things that are designed or supposed to be improving our health. And it could be anything like certain therapies, certain protocols, regimes, routines, all the kind of like health monitoring, dietary changes. It can very, very quickly get overwhelming. Sometimes when we start to implement all these different practices, it can often feel like life is completely about healing. And if we're not necessarily getting the return on our investment for maybe money we're spending on our health and also just the time and energy to do all of these things, it can get demoralizing. And then also, if you have been unwell for quite a long time, if this has been going on for several years, little by little, it really can wear someone down. And it can be very easy to get into quite a low place and potentially just want to give the whole thing up. So that's really what I wanted to talk about today. What I would say is that I've been finding it really difficult to record episodes of the podcast just because I've been really busy. And every single time I have the opportunity to record an episode, there's someone outside with a leaf blower, or there was last week, there were the tree surgeons chopping down all the trees. And today we've got some heavy rain and it's kind of in flux. It's moving through heavier periods and lighter periods, but I'm just aware that that might be coming through a bit on the audio. So if that's disruptive to your listening, I do apologize, but I really do need to get some recording done today. So I'm going to persist. But anyway, back to this dilemma of how long is long enough to stick with things when you don't necessarily feel that they're working. And so here, I want to paint the picture a little bit. Maybe you've been ill for a long time. Maybe it's been years. In some cases, I've even worked with people who have been unwell for 10 years, 20 years, even longer than that. Perhaps you've seen different practitioners. You've seen your traditional doctor, you've seen a naturopath, you've seen a nutritional therapist, you've seen a functional medicine doctor, and everything else in between. I don't know, a herbalist. You've also probably seen other types of body workers. Maybe you've had massage or acupuncture or lymphatic drainage. You've tried lots of different things. And maybe some of these things have worked, or you thought maybe they were working, but you weren't quite sure. Maybe you did see a little bit of progress, then you relapsed. Or maybe some of these things just have not worked at all. And then it can also be confusing because you have this list of things you don't know if you should be doing or you shouldn't be doing. Maybe you have a list of supplements that you've taken in the past and you're confused about, do I still need these? Do I need something else? And like most people, you may have a supplement graveyard in a cupboard somewhere of all the things you've taken and never really followed through with. And you might be doing it all out of fear of getting worse, Or you might be doing it sometimes and inconsistently, so you're not really doing anything at all. You're just dabbling in all of these different things. So if you're someone who finds yourself in this situation, what do you do? If you're not getting better and you've got all of these different things going on and you're more confused than not confused, how do you move forward? How do you decide what progress or what the strategy is going to be longer term with your health? And so here, what I want to do is take a step back. And I think the first thing to do is to get context and to get structure. Now, I work with a whole range of different clients. Sometimes somebody falls acutely unwell. Maybe they have a virus and they've never felt the same since. And within weeks or months, they've hunted me down and they've jumped into working with me one-on-one. And then I have worked with clients, and I work with clients who have been ill for decades. It's very different if someone is fresh into the experience, even though it can be really challenging because they're coming to terms with their health. They also haven't had all the disappointment, all the ups and downs, all the trauma of having this process go on for a really, really long time. And to a degree, it makes it easier for those people. But then what about the people who have been at this a long time? And of course, also accepting that even 10 years ago, let alone 20 or 30 years ago, there just wasn't as much information out there. The supplements weren't as good. The tests weren't as good. Like, nothing was as good as what it is today. And we can only hope that things will continue to get better. So if somebody has been at this a long time, they probably haven't had as much access to information in the beginning. They haven't had as much access to good testing support, supplements, gadgets, whatnot. And they've probably also had a lot of unhelpful experiences or potentially even traumatizing experiences along the way, which is really going to shape their belief systems about the illness as a whole and what is or what isn't possible for them. This is where it's really important that we have some sort of context and we have some sort of structure and we have some sort of foundations that everybody, I really believe, we should have. And what I would say is, when I have taken on clients who have maybe been unwell for a really long time, they have usually a lot of awareness about the general things that they should be doing, but sometimes the level of detail really, really matters. So I'm actually thinking of a particular client who I know I'm going to be seeing this afternoon, and we've been working together for about a year now, if not more. And, you know, she's been improving, and we haven't done anything phenomenally magical or unheard of together, but it was really, really drilling down the basics to the nth degree and really getting her to fully commit to some of the foundational principles, which I'll go into in a moment, that she'd been dabbling with, but never really stuck to consistently for a long enough period of time. And so these foundational principles are what I refer to repeatedly on the podcast and what I talk about in my content as the foundational five. And the foundational five, in a nutshell, are your nervous system, blood sugar management, because of the impact that that has on the nervous system, pacing and sleep, and then managing inflammation. So it's beyond the scope of this podcast episode to talk about each of these in detail, but the good news is I've got loads of other episodes where I do talk about these in detail. But we really want to be supporting our nervous system properly. That's not just meditation. It's not just yoga nidra. It's not just breath work. It's actually getting connected to the sensations in the body, learning how to build capacity to tolerate positive sensations, learning how having and building our capacity to tolerate more challenging sensations, and being able to pendulate, which means moving in between the two. So I can move into more regulation, I can move into more activation without getting stuck there or shutting down. It's not just about trying to be calm all the time, it's actually trying to grow our capacity. And so we want to be working on this, and it's such an essential part of our recovery. We need to be mastering our blood sugar, because if we're having blood sugar highs and lows throughout the day, that's going to destabilize our nervous system. It's going to increase inflammation. It's going to destabilize sleep potentially as well. I will say here again, it's like probably 90 to 95% of the people who come and work with me, whether they're in the early stages of their journey or the later stages of their journey, have not yet mastered their blood sugar. And I talk about this all the time on social media. I have multiple podcast episodes on this. And even if it's just small details and small tweaks we have to do, very, very few people are doing this optimally. Pacing, I've got an episode on pacing, but I see a lot of people not pacing properly. And some people might do the trend I tend to see, even if people think that they're pacing properly, is they do too much and then they have very long periods of rest, which they call pacing, but actually it's more of like a mini boom and crash cycle. So we want to really restore the natural rhythm of activity and rest, activity and rest. And what I find some people need to do is actually need to do less activity and take more rest more frequently in the beginning until they build up their capacity again. We want to be sleeping well and managing sleep. That can sometimes be a really tricky thing for people to do. I have worked with some clients who've really struggled with this, but working on your nervous system, supporting your blood sugar, and working on pacing will all help your sleep. One of the biggest reasons I see why people don't sleep well is because of the state of their nervous system. Another reason is because of nighttime hypoglycemia, which is then increasing their adrenaline in the night and waking them up. And then many people get overstimulated in the day because they aren't pacing properly, and that interferes with their sleep at night. And so then the final one here is managing inflammation. Now, this is where we can go down a bit of a rabbit hole, because there are so many things to actually look at here in terms of managing inflammation. But the basics I would say that someone would want to have would be a good diet and toxin avoidance. And that might be toxins coming through the air that we breathe, the food that we eat, and the water that we're drinking. And in which case, I would say probably quite important for most people to do is to check their home for mold. So coming back to the original question for this episode, which is how long is enough to stick with things? These are things that you stick with forever. These are the things that we need as humans, not just as people who are trying to recover from a chronic illness. As human beings, we need to support our nervous systems. As human beings, we need for long-term health and longevity, good blood sugar regulation. Human beings need to pace. Human beings need to sleep, and human beings need to manage the inflammation in their body, at least on a basic level, which I've said is a good quality food, which links with the blood sugar stability anyway, and then avoiding toxins in our environment. So that stuff is foundational, and that's why I call it the foundational five. That's why I've created this membership site, which is committed to teaching you how to do it. But that kind of stuff, there's not how long with that stuff. That stuff I think that everybody should do lifelong, although perhaps as you become more well, there's a bit more flexibility with how strict you have to be. So then we get to the next, I'm going to call this section the healing stuff section. So these are the people who have all the gadgets. They've got the NeuroSim vagus nerve stimulator. They've got the red light. They've got the sauna. They've got the cold plunge or the cryotherapy. They're doing acupuncture. They're doing massage. They're doing parent technique. whatever it might be, these are the things that you probably have more questions around. These are the things where you're probably thinking, I don't know if this is helping me or not. It costs quite a bit of money, takes quite a bit of time. Do I need to keep on going with these things? And so here, I think obviously it's always going to come down at the end of the day to an individual decision. But I would say if you're somebody who is chronically unwell, my guidance would be do more of what makes you feel good. So if you're questioning whether or not you need to keep on going with your red light, let's say, for example, and you just really love your red light and it gives you joy to use your red light, then that might be something that you want to keep in your life. But if you're waking up in the morning or you're going about your day and you're like, oh, got to do the red light, then that's already a signal from your nervous system that there's something about this practice which is feeling like it's too much. And when it comes to healing, less is usually more. Many of us have arrived in the place of unwellness, shall we call it, because we have done too much for too long. And then when our healing practices also feel like too much and something that's like an ongoing thing we have to keep on doing, then that's not necessarily conducive to healing. So this is where with all these extra things, we want to lean into what feels supportive, what feels good, and leave the rest behind. Especially if you're in a place where you just don't feel like you're making progress with anything, then I would really say it could possibly be very helpful to strip back and simplify. When I'm working with clients, especially with clients who've been ill for a long time, and they've kind of stuck on lots of bits and pieces of like stuff that they've accumulated along the way, one of the most helpful things is for us to pull everything apart and then reassemble from the ground up. And that reassembling from the ground up usually starts with the foundational five and then adding in any kind of other additional practices which would help that person feel good. From a nervous system perspective, this is what we call our resources, the things that feel resourcing to the nervous system. And these things shouldn't feel heavy. They shouldn't feel like a drain. They shouldn't feel like another thing that you have to do. They should help you feel light, or even if perhaps it does need a little, you do need a little bit of inspiration or motivation to get going with something. Once you've done it, you feel really uplifted. You get that little natural dopamine boost from doing it. I would also add here that it also makes sense to do the things that make sense in the context of your plan. If you know you have a toxic overload, if you know you have mycotoxins or other toxic chemicals or whatnot, then even if you don't enjoy the sauna, but it doesn't make you feel bad, then it would make sense to make that something that you stick with. So something where there's already evidence that this is something that is supportive for you, logically, then it makes sense to continue with that thing. But we shouldn't just do it without having the proper foundations in place and having a full strategy in place as well, which is ultimately going to get us to the end goal of where we need to be. And here, ideally, I would also say that you're tracking what's happening. So if you're using a sauna because you had positive mycotoxins in your urine and you've evaluated that you don't have any mycotoxins in your home that you're being exposed to and you're dealing with the colonization in your gut, if that was there, then after maybe 6 months or so, you retest, because the retesting is going to show you, okay, the sauna is helping me. This is really supportive for me. And that creates the motivation to keep on going. So that would be something else to consider, not just what you like, but what actually makes sense in the context of your plan. And also that you want to be monitoring this, seeing improvements. And then as you see improvements, you're also adjusting the plan. Or if you're not seeing improvements, you're problem solving to see, like, why didn't these results change for me? So that's kind of how to answer the question on all of the healing stuff. Then the next thing to consider would be supplements. Most of us have got some sort of supplement graveyard, some whole bunch of things that we have bought, we've tried, we've never finished, we've reacted to, and then we moved on to the next thing. I know myself in my own journey, whenever I felt a little bit bad, I'd be researching the next supplement that I would hope would be the magic bullet. And there were never any magic bullets, unfortunately. So it can be really confusing when we've been ill for a long time and we've got all these supplements, some we're taking, some we're not taking. We might be fearful of stopping taking certain things. We don't want to go backwards. We don't want to get worse. But we might also just feel confused, like I'm spending a lot of money on these things. I don't know if they're helping me. How long do I keep on going and how long do I keep on taking these things? This is where testing can be really, really useful. Personally, I know that testing can cost quite a bit of money, but it will save you money in the long term when you add up how much you're going to be spending on supplements if you don't test. And so testing can help us identify nutrient deficiencies. So we know, okay, we need to keep on taking the magnesium or we need to keep on taking the B6 or the folate or whatever it is, because this is something that your body needs. We can also identify certain imbalances through testing. We can identify that there are infections or maybe that we don't digest food so well, or we have a lot of oxidative stress or whatever it might be. So if we're testing, then we know what supplements we need to take. And then, as I said already, is if we've got our foundational five, we're having a layered approach where we're working through things in a systematic way, we're taking supplements which are appropriate for that protocol, and then we're retesting and reevaluating to see what's worked, what hasn't worked, problem solve for the things that haven't worked, and then continue with the plan. That keeps us engaged in the process, but then there's also less confusion about what we should and shouldn't be doing. So how long is long enough? I would say we want to test, have a structured protocol, implement the protocol for 3 to 6 months, retest, problem solve, and then make a decision about what's needed moving forward. There can also just be some things that are really nice, I would call like maintenance supplements. So for example, I still now supplement with B vitamins because that's something that I can sometimes, I was quite low on at one point in time, and I do just think it's something nice to keep going with. Other things might be magnesium, electrolytes. Those are the types of things that might be longer term supplements. But the whole point of working through a specific protocol is to get an outcome and then either move on to the next stage of the journey or to continue to problem solve. Not all strategies are going to help you feel better. So for example, you might do a whole strategy to clear mold, or you might do a strategy for some sort of gut infection. And you might see with testing and retesting that actually that was successful, that's cleared now. And you might feel a bit, oh, well, but I still don't have the energy I want to have. And that might be because there's more that needs to happen. We need to rebuild the mitochondria. We need to reintroduce exercise to encourage mitochondrial biogenesis. So this is where there needs to be a foundation, a strategic approach, which is monitored. And then also it's part of a long-term process. What a lot of people don't do is they don't lay the foundations. They don't have a solid, grounded, systemized strategy where one thing is happening at a time and it's all being done in the right order. They're not sticking with it consistently enough. They're not monitoring it. And they're not staying with the same practitioner. So they might get frustrated when things aren't working, when they react to supplements, when things don't work fast enough, and then they jump ship. And so it's really important, like some of my best clients have been the ones where it has been hard and has been slow, but they've stuck with me and we've solved the problems together, which we can only do with time and with a trusting relationship. So jumping around to lots of different things, that's going to be overwhelming for the nervous system. And it also means you never build up a relationship with somebody that you can trust and somebody who knows your case. So that's not to say that you should stick with everyone. Sometimes it is appropriate to move on as well. So from a supplement perspective, there needs to be some sort of strategy. We shouldn't be supplementing because we saw someone on Instagram say what worked for them. We need to understand what's actually going on for our body. Like, why do we have fatigue? What systems need supporting for those imbalances? And then how do we go on and support them in a strategic way? And really important to do the test, retest to make sure that what we're doing is working. And if it's not working, we find a way for it to work. So I feel like I'm getting a little bit fired up here. Then the next thing I want to talk about is dig deeper and work strategically. I think I've kind of weaved that into the conversation so far, is we've got those foundations in place. We've got the right amount of healing stuff, our healing gadgets, whatever that might be, the things that help us feel good, that don't feel like a chore. We've probably got a minimal amount of supplements, or our supplements are specifically tailored to something that we're working on. And this is where I'll talk about why I don't see people getting better. What I would say for the most part is the people who come and work with me and they do both the functional medicine and the nervous system work together, the majority of those people all do really, really well. When it's been a case of those people have not improved, or they have not improved at the rate that I would expect them to improve, it might be that they're missing one of the components. So they're doing the functional medicine with me, but they're not doing the nervous system work. And I really want them to, but that's a personal decision on their part. It might be that there's a blind spot. So for example, there's mold in their home that which they haven't investigated and they actually need to investigate. Or it could be we know that there's something in their case that they need to work on, but they aren't able to get there. Worked with quite a few clients now with severe glutathione depletion. And as an example, like one client has access to glutathione IV, the other client doesn't. The one who's got access to glutathione IV is having the IV and making a lot of progress, whereas the other one who doesn't have access isn't making the same amount of progress, even though the two cases are very similar. So sometimes it can be an accessibility to what that individual needs, which is obviously heartbreaking when you can't get access to something that would really, really move your case forward. But if we're thinking about like how, coming back to this particular topic, which is long enough to keep doing things, is when, in terms of everything that I've been saying today, we do need to have these foundations. We do need to have strategy, but we also have to be able to implement the strategy. And sometimes that's when people get stuck, is because they're very sensitive. They can only move so fast and it just takes longer. And sometimes the changes are really, really slow and really, really small, but they are there and we just do need to stick with them. And that's where it can be helpful to have someone that you're working with who can help you see what you can't see in terms of your progress as a whole. But I would say that chronic and stubborn infections, probably the sticking point for a lot of people. Being stuck in this sort of very sensitive MCAS kind of histamine situation where even little bits of supplements cause big reactions, that can be another sticking point for people. And sometimes there can be blind spots. This would be something that I've picked up on earlier when working with clients, but sometimes people have got sleep apnea that nobody has ever diagnosed before, and that needs to be addressed before they can move forward with their health. So here I just wanted to validate as well that sometimes it's okay to take a break. When you have been spending a lot of money, taking lots of supplements, doing lots of testing, seeing lots of practitioners, it can become exhausting emotionally, and your nervous system is probably very depleted and shut down. And in some cases, I would actually like certain people that I've worked with, I would have loved to just say, stop doing everything. Stop all your supplements. Stop all of these healing modalities. Go and sit in the sun. Go read a book. Go cuddle your pets. Just go and do all the things in life that help you feel good and just give yourself a break. However, a lot of people don't want to do that because they're afraid of what might happen. And they're also afraid that that means that they're giving up. And it's not giving up. It's just taking a pause. It's taking a pause to take all the pressure off of your system. Just give yourself 3 months or 6 months to just be where you are without the pills and the gadgets and the meditation and the brain retraining and the pressure and whatever else it might be. Give yourself 3 to 6 months just to connect with you. And from that place, you may find some of the answers that you need. I don't know what they will be, but they might be there. And then you could even potentially just start to rebuild from the ground up again, very slowly, very gently, in attunement with your nervous system. Come back to those foundations. Or maybe that is when you just reach out to a practitioner who can look at everything that you've done and all the testing history and everything that's gone on, and maybe just offer some insight into, you know, what you could do differently once you feel re-energized again to make your way forward. And the final thing I want to say here is that I really believe that the process of healing is a process of connection. And it is connecting back to our true essence and our true self. Sometimes that's what's missing for a lot of people. In the attempts to do all the things, see all the practitioners, take all the stuff, there's a loss of connection to our own inner knowing of what's right for us, what supports our bodies, what helps us to feel most like ourselves. And that's where this stripping back and taking a little pause, taking a little break can really be helpful, because I really believe that when we are connected to ourselves, which requires regulation, by the way, that we will know what is right for us. We will know when enough is enough. We will know when to continue. We'll know when to slow down. We'll know when to push forward. We'll know all of these things the more we are connected to our essence. So that brings me to all the points that I wanted to discuss today. And maybe just to finish by saying, no one can tell you what your truth is. Only you know what your truth is. But I hope that through listening to these reflections today, it's maybe given you some clarity around some of your blind spots. You know, I guess the frustration is wanting to get better, feeling like you're doing so much and not seeing the return on that investment. I guess my encouragement would be to slow down, do less, come back to basics, take a break, lay the foundations, but maybe also just think about some of the things that I've said today about what I've seen with the people that I work with. And the things that often are the case are not consistently doing the basics enough to the degree that they need to be done, not having a strategy which is strategic, carefully thought out, paced at the right pace for you, not monitoring, seeing what's working, not working, and then adjusting and the plan and strategy and problem solving as needed, doing too much, too many things, too many cooks in the kitchen, too overwhelming for the nervous system. And then ultimately this real disconnection from truth and knowing, which is a journey in itself. So I hope in all of that, there's something there that is useful for you. And maybe just you could take a moment at the end of this episode to just think about one small thing that you would maybe change in your journey after listening and engaging with this content today. And as always, if you have enjoyed listening to this episode, I would love for you to leave a review on Spotify or iTunes. Your reviews help others find the information, get the help they need. And in some cases, this information can really be life-changing for some people. So if you would like to do that now, and I will see you in the next episode.